Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks on this Monday, the 6th day of April 2020. I'm David Ellis, and I don't want to take you back in time. I suppose quite a number of you would wish that you could go back to 2014 and be free to walk the streets as you like today, but that's not so. I suppose what you can talk to me about is what it feels like to be on lockdown. I have some friends who appear to be very miserable, and I know that there are some young people who just cannot comprehend staying in their own homes for so long. And this is early days in the lockdown. Call us. Send your WhatsApp messages to us as well. We want to hear from you. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I have one concern. I went to the 24-hour clinic on Saturday. I'm diabetic, I'm hypertensive, and I have asthma. 2 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with a viral infection, and I had to be nebulized twice. I was put on sick leave, went back to the doctor, wasn't feeling any better, and they didn't give me any more time home, and I went back out to work. I felt like if I was going to die anyhow. On Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, I woke up, wasn't feeling any better, and I went to the 24-hour doctor. When I got there, my blood sugar was a 25. I hadn't eaten anything, I hadn't drinking anything like that. And they put me on a drip, gave me a letter to take to the accident and emergency. Before I went to the accident emergency, I came home because the accident emergency does be cold. I came home, get another shower, take up my jacket, and I went there. When I got there, I waited 3 hours. The guy said no patient advocate was there to assess anyone or take anyone. 3 hours, and still I didn't got through. I came back home. I called the doctor yesterday at the 24-hour clinic. She told me go back. How could I go back where they are not taking in anyone? And right now I see that if I ain't dead, my blood sugar is still firing, my chest hurting me, and all of that.
Well, what I can do for you in these circumstances is to ask you to leave your details, your contact details, and then I will try to find out, you know, what's the best advice that they will give to a person in your situation. Because to me,
right now, my eyes are so blurry, I can't even see.
Because your blood sugar is too high?
Yes, it is.
Right. So I will undertake as soon as possible to raise a question with someone in authority, so that there could be some attempt to look at your situation with some urgency. All right? So stay on the line and just give the details to the technical, the producer. Okay? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Morning. Mm-hmm. Am I on the air?
You are.
I am concerned, and I am very, very happy to know that there is a curfew and a lot of things are happening. But what I'm concerned about is the hardware store, the plumbers and electricians. That, you know, I'm concerned with the, yeah.
I'm listening to you. Turn off your radio.
I am very concerned about the plumbers and the thing, because a lot of people are now using the toilets. They're at home, plenty of them, and the chances are that they're going to go bad. There's the electrical and other hardware items that are necessary. I'm appealing to the good nature of the radio stations to kindly ask the powers that be to assist us with the plumbers, the electricians, and the hardware store at least.
What has been your experience?
Because my experience have been that the bathroom breakdown this morning, the flushing, and there's no way you can get a replacement part because the places are closed. I would have liked to know that a hardware store opened, and since that so many families are using bathrooms at this time because everybody remains at home, the chances are that these usages are going to be in trouble. So my suggestion is that at least you can add to the small shops and the other places and pharmacies a hardware store, and at least plumbers or electricians to come to your house to address these matters, since that everyone is going to be at home.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm making sense to you, but can you make that appeal?
Yes, I think. Well, you made the appeal yourself.
Yeah.
And I can understand the point that you're making. You could find yourself in circumstances, even if you didn't have a lot of people in the house, where plumbing could go, or you could have a serious electrical issue that needs to be addressed urgently.
Yes.
And I take the point that you have raised. Okay?
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Davey.
Yes, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. There are just five concerns I would like to raise this morning. Now, this morning, the number of persons I see on the road. I wonder how seriously the curfew is being imposed.
Do you have given any thought to why there are so many, though?
But these people can't be emergency personnel, for sure. But they're just people driving up and down the road, people walking all about the road. I don't know what's happening. It wasn't so bad yesterday and Saturday.
All right, let me ask you. I see police today. I've seen police stopping people as well and asking them for their ID and for passes. And they have a critical role to play in trying to address this particular matter. There are some other countries, and I was listening to what they're doing in St. Lucia, for instance. In St. Lucia, they're talking about people having to move within zones. There are some places in the Caribbean where the police have put up roadblocks as a means of trying to stop people moving to and fro as freely. The Barbados situation is not as intense as that. But in all of this, you also have to ask the question, why? What is it that is motivating so many people to be on the streets? Do you see them just sitting down and congregating and talking? Do you?
They're just moving, sir.
They're moving. So there's a distinct possibility.
They're bored being at home, sir.
Are you sure that that's all there is to it, though? Have you asked, and you haven't had a chance to ask them?
I haven't asked any of them.
Right, so you assume.
I just see that the traffic is heavier today than it was over the last 3 days.
Well, that is possibly true, but part of it may well be that a number of them are going to these shops that are open. I cannot assume that because you see them on the streets, they're just loitering.
They're not loitering, but I just see that there's a heavy volume of traffic on the road.
Which road are you talking about, though?
I live here at Bank Hall Cross Road, and I see a large number of vehicles up and down the road.
Oh, you see vehicles. You're not talking about people who are walking?
There are people who walk, but there are people like they're going to work. Early this morning, I saw people that have a sack and thing on their back, so I don't know if they were going to work.
Mm-hmm. So your fear is that it undermines the curfew and the objective of the curfew once you are seeing that many people.
That's one of my fears.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said you had five issues.
Yeah, all right. The other thing, you know, if the supermarkets are being closed, I would suggest that the delivery vehicles supply the village shops and the mini marts.
Okay.
Now, the third one is, the UE was commissioned to do some models on the virus. Could you tell me why these figures have not been released or
I assume that they feel that if they tell us that we will panic. I can only come to that conclusion because everybody talking around the figures and all they tell you is hundreds. You know, what do you think?
So I ask the UE to do the study, and then keep the figure a secret.
Well, I suppose those who have to make the decisions would use the figures to determine what steps they are going to take. So, the curfew, for instance, moving to a 24-hour curfew, may well be one of the steps that they are taking because of the information that they have. But you are among those who believe that that information ought to be shared with the public.
It should have been made public.
Why?
Why not take the public in your confidence?
Why is it necessary in your judgment?
Because the persons who are breaking the curfew and so on would see that, you should see the seriousness of what they're doing. But if they don't know what could result from what they're doing, but they're not going to take the curfew seriously.
You may have a point there in the eyes of some people, because I'd like people who are going through the process of having to put up with pressure from others that they want to leave the house and they don't understand why they have to have a curfew and this and all of that. Some of you are experiencing that. And I want to know whether you believe that giving those figures can make a difference. There are those who will say, you know, because it has also gone abroad, that this isn't a young people's problem, you know. This is old people's disease. So that's what they're saying. I mean, the statistics that are coming
out.
Well,
yesterday they said that a seven-year-old is
Yeah, but the thing about that is that the seven-year-old is not considered to be in critical condition. Those who end up being in critical condition most of the time are older people. But one of the things about this particular virus is that those who experience it talk about extreme pain. So it is one thing to say that you may not die, but what immediate suffering do you endure? And in addition to that, what condition does it leave your body in? Because you're not, this won't be the last time that you get sick. But if you contract this virus, it is uncertain as to exactly what happens to your lungs in the medium to long term. So it is not something to play with.
So those persons that have been discharged, do you plan to interview them or anything like that?
Well, I don't know. People would have to make themselves available. You know, there are a lot of people who still feel that there is some measure of stigma associated with having COVID. Mind you, I've seen a number of other people, especially people in New York. I saw one from a young Barbadian lady online last night in which she was saying that she got it. And she was there talking with people via video with her mask on and all of that, urging Barbadians to take this particular virus seriously and to lock down. You know, so there are people who who have it and are trying their best to educate Barbadians and others about the seriousness of it all.
All right, the fourth thing is there are some employers who pay their employees fortnightly. On Friday, they were unable to pay their employees because the banks have disabled the deposit mechanism on the ATM. Don't you think the bank should make some provision this week for those employers to come into the bank and transact their business so that they can pay their employees?
Well, the truth of the matter is that we have to go back to first principles. What is the first principle here? What is the first principle? The first principle is that all these transactions have the capacity to spread this disease. That's what we are looking at. Are you prepared to risk that?
So what I'm saying, David, is not the it's not the entire country that is going into the bank. You are just opening the bank.
But the bank, the banks have workers too, you know.
Well, you can have social distancing. You don't have to even take the whole bank staff to come and carry out these transactions.
Well, I think ultimately
you can have a skeleton staff or something.
Ultimately, that's a decision for the banks to make. They have to determine whether they believe it is in their interest to do it.
But you know that these persons don't have to wait about a whole month before they get any money. These employees gonna have to wait a whole month before they get any money.
Well, that's one of the things that the authorities would have to look at. You know, both the private sector interests and the public sector interests would have to look at it and see what can be worked out in that regard. Okay.
All right, the final thing. Mm-hmm. In the light of what transpired on Friday the 3rd, don't you think the curfew should be extended to the 19th?
Why is that?
Well, to give them that 3-day breathing space in there to see if there are going to be any spikes in the number of cases.
Well,
because of all the bunching and so on that they had at the supermarket Friday.
I think that the authorities would certainly be looking at where the figures are going in this 14-day period to determine whether we will increase or whether we will ease. You know, it is a moving target, and it is something that you have to assess on a daily basis. I see St. Lucia is moving away from a 24-hour curfew to something like a 10-hour curfew or something like that. No, they feel that they can relax it. But others may be reluctant to do so. There is the economic imperative that is driving those who want to get back to normal as quickly as possible. But the big issue for us, I think we're in the same kind of situation where the United States finds itself this week. They are anticipating this week that there will be a significant surge in the number of confirmed cases and the number of deaths. We are still in the early days of this situation right now, so we have to sit cautiously watching exactly what is going to happen this week. We had 4 new cases at last count. The day before, we only had 1 new case. But the general trend is 3 or 4 per day. That's what we've seen so far. We've had a situation there where the police had a man who was a suspect turned out to have COVID. That sounds more community-based than anything else. That wasn't tracing, contact tracing, or anything like that. So we need to be cautious, huh?
Okay.
Very, very cautious. Thank you very much for your question.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
A blessed good morning, my brother. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Good morning. I'm well. And you?
I'm blessed.
Let me hear you this morning.
Huh?
Let me hear
you talking to everybody good and you going on a lower tone. What happened?
Because I know how it is with you.
Mm-hmm. So, David, how has this curfew affected you?
I am peaceful.
Mm-hmm. You're very low with me. Like you think that a storm coming behind my words, you know.
Man, I know how it is with you. See, the fella or the woman who is listening to this program for the first time, they wouldn't know the kind of trouble that you give. But I know, and the regular listeners know full well. So don't mind this soft voice. You see the tone that he's assumed? Whenever he assumes that tone, listen. There's some personal, direct assault that is going to come next. Come, let me hear you.
No, David. It's a pity that you got me so...
I got you covered ever since.
No, you have got me covered. Anyhow, David, to be on a very serious note now. Mm-hmm. After yesterday's press conference, anything frightening you from Lieutenant Colonel Ball State, Minister of Health and Wellness speech?
I think what would concern me most of all would be the fact that the person who died came into Barbados in March and had all of that time to make contact with different people. And then on top of that, that the person would have, according to them, presented at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, he and his wife. So you see, this is the environment in which the COVID can be easily spread. So that would concern me more than anything else. What concern you?
No, there are some things that concern me. One, you remember when I spoke to you in connection with the Blackman and Gawler School, when I told you that there's a serious scenario and that should have dry fear in Barbadians at the time because they were looking for other schools. You understand where I'm coming from so far, or you want me to continue?
I am not here about trying to drive fear in the hearts of Barbadians.
But you have to do that at this time.
No. Why?
All right.
I mean, if you're going to drive, if you want to drive fear in the hearts of Barbadians.
I told drive fear. I told after what was said where Blackman and Gawler School was concerned and looking for other schools, that should have drive some fear.
But why?
David, you say one thing just now, right? Mm-hmm. But you missed the other point.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that little 7-year-old boy who is also a victim
you
of
you don't know the world. Circumstances.
He's there.
He might have traveled with his parents. You don't know.
But whether he traveled or not, that is my concern. I was asked a question, because I listen to overseas news a lot. And I remember about 4 to 5 weeks ago, a guy said that this thing would probably peter off in 2021. I was asked there and then, after talking with some fellas, what is my view concerning the Black Man Gawler School? I said, well, if that happened, I do not see children going back to school before September.
Sir, I must tell you, that when we spoke about that, I thought there was a subsequent comment from government about the use of that school. I thought what I heard was that it was being prepared because of its proximity to various other places, and that it was going to be used not as a first resort, but as a last resort. So my question is, are we returning to that subject today?
You have to, because one, you have to No. You have to look at the teachers who will be going back into that environment and the students. You frightened to start certain things now that you, in journalism, you know, David.
No, I try to be a responsible journalist. I really don't want to be sitting down here encouraging people to be fearful of situations where, at the end of the day, we are already living in a very frightening and scary situation overall. But just let me make a point. I think that people like you need to be very careful that you don't come here and fan a flame that, at the end of the day, this matter has already been spoken about, and I don't know what is to be gained by trying to whip up a frenzy among parents of children at this particular school to come back to this very issue when we have already had an explanation as to how the government sees it and under what circumstances it would be addressed.
But you realize, right, David, that they are looking for other buildings, which should tell that this thing is more serious, and they are preparing for a very serious scenario.
Yes, they are preparing based upon what is described as the modeling or the projections. It is not an accurate science, but just in case we have the numbers that the experts believe could come out of this, isn't it better for us to prepare than to find ourselves unprepared?
But David, in preparing, this nation have to also, as the colonel says, they too have to work. So with the amount of people that complain, with the amount of traffic on the road, is a very serious thing. You know that in South
what have market, you done? Let me ask you. Because you know you like to come and talk about everybody.
Let me
ask you, how have you fared in this lockdown? What have you been doing?
Well, David, I just put some sweet bread in the oven. If I was to bring one, we'll go out there with a lot of sugar. But it has not done me anything, David.
You might have to go with flour too. So let me hear you now. So you've spent the last couple of days doing what? Since Friday, what have you done?
Well, I get up, read my Bible, thank the Lord I can see another day.
Yeah.
Watch the birds, watch the bees. Get some fresh air.
Yeah, you haven't been out on the streets?
I went out once. That was to do an emergency something for someone. That's all.
Okay.
I saw a big long line at Nichols Bakery. Don't know why people want so much bread. There's a time to cook and learn to pick up on your culinary skills so that when it resumes to normalcy, those food places will suffer. Of course, next time workers will suffer too, because they will get sent home. So it's a thing. Well,
you know, you touch a very interesting point there, you know.
Which point that is, but I suppose that you agree with me. So I got to be very careful with you. Go ahead. Let me hear your point.
Look, it is that we have developed a lifestyle that is based more and more on buying food rather than cooking food. We have developed a lifestyle, for instance, when I was growing up as a child, in the evening, for supper, people did all sorts of different things. People did bakes, people fried fish, people did fry cakes, they did corned beef cakes, they did this hot chocolate that used to come on on a stick, and you made your cocoa. That's what we called it. And they would put dumplings in it sometimes. And spices and stuff like that. We moved away from that big time. In these 2 weeks, we are now going to be forced to do a bit more of that kind of stuff. And chances are that beyond this whole COVID, you're going to find a change in behavior, because people are now going to be paying more attention to washing hands and that sort of thing.
Hygiene.
But they're also likely to pay more attention to eating out, how they eat out, when they eat out, things like that. So that's to my mind, one of the possible positives coming out of this. Of course, as you just said, with every positive comes a negative. There are people who could lose their jobs as well, you know, but you have decided that you're going to bake. And what else are you going to do in sharpening up these culinary skills that you talk about?
My dear, we got a range of food that I could cook.
Like
I
what's so?
I could do some ham and rice. I could do something that you love dearly, 1, 2, 3. I didn't know.
You know a lot about what I like. 1, 2, 3. Not really. Not really.
No idea. Seriously, though, I think that at this time, I'm hearing a lot of violence. If I think families might come together more.
You think?
I think. But I would like to hope that. I hope that more love can be produced out of this year. You know, I don't know how much we will be doing now, hugging one another after this year. But I hope, you know, the old time days will come back where manners, being, you know, your neighbor's keeper would be more relevant what is now existing. On that note, dear, they say that we have gone so good. Have a pleasant and a blessed day.
Shocking, isn't it?
It took a 119 for me and you to counter this relationship.
Can you imagine that? That's a positive coming out of it already. Down to brass tacks. So I think Trinidad and Tobago, their COVID count is now 105 confirmed cases, but they also have 8 deaths in Trinidad. I'm also checking a report here that suggests to me that Trinidad's lockdown may well have been extended to April 30th, but I need to check that. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air? Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, 4341790. Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning, sir.
I really enjoyed that little tit-a-tat with yourself and Mr. Agriculture. It was really soothing. A bit of laughter came out. But I'm glad that he's started to call back and that he's okay, et cetera.
That's not the person that I know as Mr. Agriculture. I know that voice, but it's not classified as Mr. Agriculture at all.
No, it's not Mr. Agriculture?
No, it isn't.
Okay, all right. My call this morning, though, is I've got one or two concerns. Starting with, from Saturday, after the lockdown, et cetera, it gored me particularly to see buses passing from Saturday up to this morning. Empty up, empty down. Empty. I saw three persons in all of this that I'm indicating to you. I saw a lady in one bus, then I saw a gentleman in a bus, and then I saw an immigration officer in the third one. But all the other buses from Saturday until this morning ran empty here up, empty down. Now, I'm saying this cannot continue, actually, until to the 15th. Because if you look at the rail bill, you see you're not having any passengers. They have to have, if it is that everything is on lockdown, only essential services should be on the road, persons working with the essential services. I am saying that they have to chart out now a system of zoning, put a base for persons that work in the essential service. Everybody's going to need transportation. So all those that will rely on the transportation, let them call the base, and then you pool and form a strategy as to how you'll move them to and from. So if you're dealing with a certain zone, you send a smaller bus, and then you have a time system of working out. But they will fine-tune all of that. But I am saying you cannot have buses running from Saturday to the 15th up and don't empty all day long. It isn't workable in a cash-strapped situation like the transport board. Okay. Something has to be done expeditiously with this. They have to. I know it's a new thing. They have to be keeping problems, but you have to work with something with that bus thing. Honestly. Oh. Secondly, mm-hmm. I've been relentlessly on the respect of the utilities calling. Now, we had Mr. Williams call last week and put a definitive for the Digicel. I am equally calling for the same sort of input from the Barbados Lighting Power for eons. I've been asking for it from Flo. Now, I went up to Flo to pay my bill for specific reasons. When I got to the cashier, I asked a question. Tell me something. Suppose I didn't get here to pay my bill. Would my phone go on soft touch? She said, well, yes. I said, well, with all that's going on, why should it go on soft touch when there's exempt? The Prime Minister hit the ground running and she said, all the water that turn off has to turn back on. That's a plus. Now, Mr. Williams came out and he gave his for Giselle. Why we are not having the Barbados Lighting Power and Floor, they have got cooperative persons that come out and speak for them every second of the day. Why aren't they put in the position? Because I've made the point that we have persons living from paycheck to paycheck, from pension check to pension check. They are going to be under some serious concern and anxiety as to if they got to pay before so-and-so as regarding the likelihood of the turn-off. And some of them going to need that same utility money to try and get a little food stuff in the house to run them over. Now, hot on the heels of me saying that, I want the customers and consumers to understand clearly they have still got to pay. There's going to be an incremental thing established or something, some till it fares itself out properly, but they still have to pay. But if they get the waiver, do not abuse the waiver. But I'm saying these two entities must come out just like what the Prime Minister has done and Mr. Williams and put their perspective. It isn't rocket science. And I'm saying the Prime Minister will allow them to go back and reprogram the turn-off thing because he's made the point. And you understand it too. Once you get a certain juncture and you don't pay, the automatic thing cuts in. I'm saying the Prime Minister will allow them to go back and recalibrate it so that they won't have a lot of people on soft touch. Just more phones are going to be necessary and the electricity, et cetera. I don't know what you have to say because I've got two other points to finish. But you want to say
you go on with the other points.
No, good. I am calling for serious management of those frontline workers, doctors and nurses. I made this point on the People's Business last night. They need to get rest and they don't suffer from burnout. So they have got their things so structured. And so much vigilance has to be applied among those doctors, frontline people, all the workers that are to their max, that they won't end up in burnout and have it regulated, and they've got to be catered to in a specific way. Now, the last one, you aren't getting any papers, as you would know, as you would like. Now, it is... No, I'm going to wring your hand here. No, everybody's depending on radio call, they're indoors. Now, we're going to ask you to bring back, tell it like it is, even if it's only for a certain period, keeping persons updated with what's happening. Now, you got the brass stats and you're happy. Tell it like it is.
Well, I don't think that that's possible, sir.
I'm going to put a suggestion there.
I don't think it's possible in the prevailing circumstances.
Okay.
I think what we are trying to do as much as we can, and you see that we have been having members of the COVID team who have joined us from time to time, taking your questions and that sort of thing. Yesterday, the program was extended considerably to accommodate something like that. I mean, you know, as it stands right now, we are not sensing that there is that need for an additional program. No, we are also giving you information throughout the day.
Right.
You know, we remind you of various key aspects of what you need to know. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm not sensing the need to create that additional space for people to be talking about the same thing that we speak about right here in this forum. And this forum is particularly long. I mean, it runs from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock. So that's adequate.
All right. I can.
In the days when we had Tell It Like It Is, this program was much shorter.
I see. All right. Well, I can stand corrected, but I want to close on this one. I am saying that I'm calling for the authorities to deal with that bus thing expeditiously, and I'm still anticipating and waiting for the Barbados Legislative Power and Flow to come with their personnel to see what is obtaining from here in as regarding the turned off, soft touch, et cetera. Because I would hate to think that after things resume, you're inundated with call. My phone got turned off. My electricity got this and that. We need to know and put people at that is a stress release or stress easer, hearing that they won't have to run by a matter of days, et cetera. I want to have a perspective from them. I'm relentless in this regard, sir. And I regard you.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks. It's 10:39. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, morning.
I hope the last caller, he was talking to Peter Wickham of Time Money, wrong. Peter suggested that if something went wrong with the breaker, you could change the breaker, especially we were talking about if you have a problem, electrical problem. And I would suggest to Rod, or Rod is the electrician, and Peter was right to a certain point that if your fridge, if your breaker that control your fridge went bad, and you had two bedrooms, and they were probably two bedrooms that the boy don't normally use, you could take the breaker down onto the bedroom and use it for the plug to tie me to the harvest door open. The question, however, that I would like to ask you is that if you have a pipe, it come into your house and it bursts, you know what you have to do now? When you're using tap, go and turn off the main. Turn on, walk up and down and turn off and turn off. You do not think it should be some sort of wisdom when Brad Shaw and these people were planning to let the RS door open around from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, called plumbing and electric things are things you always wanted at your house. So there you have a situation. You got to get your house, turn off the main, walk back in, turn off or catch water in and out all the time. That is inconveniencing people. The other thing with your problem yesterday when I had the journalist, I listened to him yesterday, I turn it off. I find that the journalists in Barbados are very poor. And they keep on asking the same question over and over and over. And I will let you to tell them to look at the fella on the CNN, John Lemon, and look at the girl on the SBC always. That's what you call journalism. Not this hoshy washy, tell you skinny up at the minister's face and talking about your nonsense all the time. I will last thing to you, Mr. Ellis. I hear you talking on more than one occasion that this is going to bring families closer together. And let me draw a scenario to you. You live in a house, and when this thing is over, only one boy in that house is working. That boy has a petty business about six or seven people in that house. This is going to bring people more worried than anything else, because that person is going to get to the stage where all those commitments on him, and then they start to quarrel, then they start to fight, and they start to curse one another. Up to yesterday, where I live, not too far from me, the neighbors were cursing. And you know why?
Why?
Because the girl, the woman tell your daughter she should be working. So I don't know how this to bring the families that I'm working to get closer together. I would like you to explain that to me.
But I'm sure there was no cursing or fighting in your house. And I am sure that apart from that one house in the neighborhood, all the rest were quiet. All the others were peacefully coexisting.
Yeah, because all the rest, most of the people in the rest of the houses work.
But they weren't all working.
No, but they have a job.
So I want to draw to your attention that in all of this, there are many, many people who are under stress, but that stress does not result in the kind of friction that you're talking about. The vast majority of people in Barbados who are under that kind of pressure are not necessarily going through that. And I suppose at a public level, what is really required is that you need to be encouraging people to look for ways and means of trying to dialogue about the problems before you get to the point where there's quarreling. I mean, that's the best time, you know. You're sitting down and you got something on your mind and you're just holding it. You're not talking about it. And the slightest thing that the other person does, you then fly off the handle. But the best time to deal with it is to say, look, let's sit down. Something is bothering me here. And I think we need to talk about this before it gets to that other stage. That's the best way of dealing with it.
Yeah, but when the bills come in, though, with this bill got to
when
be
the bills come in, the dialogue still. Look, when you finish
dialogue,
when you are finished beating up on each other verbally or otherwise, the bills are still to be paid. You know.
Yeah.
That doesn't. That does not reduce the need to pay the bill.
Let me ask you something. The lady is going to pay the bills, the people that can't pay them. It's Cynthia Ford.
Well, I don't know what kind of question that is.
No, she seems to be concerned about people like poverty and things. So I just asked her a question. She's going to pay a lot of these bills. Who's going to get
I think that they should turn to you because you got so much more. You should be able to pay a couple of bills.
I tell you.
All right. But just a point of clarification, because of this matter which occurred at the police station, the District E police station, they put out a statement, and this matter took place on Saturday, where a suspect in custody at the police station exhibited symptoms that, given the current pandemic situation, it became necessary to have a medical examination by members of the COVID-19 medical team as a precautionary measure. All police personnel who'd come into contact with this individual whilst in custody remained self-isolated at the station. The results subsequently came back negative for COVID-19, both for the suspect and all of the police personnel. So they were all cleared of COVID. At no point during this ordeal was a decision made to close the station. So I needed to clarify that for you because I might have misrepresented what actually happened in that particular case. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good morning, Miss Ellis.
Hi, morning.
Miss Ellis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hardware should be a priority to be open at any time like a crisis like this. I had a friend of mine call me, and we were talking. He called me. He worked in New York. He worked with Sears Robot. And he told me he was still working on those New York things, but they look at it as one of the essential services. He's go around to homes and repair air conditioned refrigerators and so forth. So I tell him that here they said Harvey and close. He tell me my them know what they're doing. He tell me that's like a hurricane Harvey, and at the hurricane time that the first to open and the last to close. And he said that a hardware carry lots of things that you needed. And it should be a priority to have hardware open even just for 4 hours a day. That was a big oversight by us.
So actually basically say, on the basis of what you are now putting before us, that it is something that they should look at again.
Yes. I listened And Miss Ellis, and you know, on Saturday night around 10 o'clock, my pipe just do some burst, the main pipe going in, coming into the house. And that's the experience I had Saturday night around 10 o'clock. Lucky for me that I had the material to do the repairs. Lucky for that I had the material to do the repairs. I had to go up, turn off the pipe from the main, and lucky I had the contract and the cleaning thing, and the contact cement and St. Elbers and so on, and Union. Or not, I would be important.
Okay, understood.
Lucky, and I think the government also put us out there on Friday to bundle up, going to the supermarket, because they should give us about 2 or 3 days. They should make the lockdown on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Give us more time to get things together, and everybody was bundled. I took 5 hours to get in the supermarket. 5 hours.
You were bundled up too?
I tried to stand at distance, but people come and stand right alongside me. So
you were bundled up too?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody.
You had no choice?
I had no choice, Mr. Ellis. You tried to distance yourself, but people didn't come between you. You understand what I'm saying? It was, I don't talk to me again, the supermarket. Worse. People breathing up in one another face and everything.
Oh, dear. All right.
They put us out there. They should have given us more time. You just don't do that. Cause I remember some of the other Caribbean islands that introduced the shutdown, get the people 2 and 3 days before they implement it. But we just rush and do it. You know, they put us out there. They really put us out there to contract this thing, you know. They really put us out there. The government fall down bad. They handle it badly. Badly. And then you can tell me too that you can only allow the mini marks at the supermarket to do top up. The mini marks should be able to sell bread and so forth too. The government is. But at top of inner demand. And I hear people get turned back for want to get ball gas, and the service station has ball gas, and they refuse to sell people. Say they're only allowed to sell gas or do top up.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello. Good morning, sir. Hello? You can hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm a home care worker. I look after an old lady in Christchurch. My problem is that I can't get to her, and there's no one else that goes there to do anything for her. I was calling around this morning to find out where I can obtain this paper for traveling. I called the police station and told me that I have to get authority from the district attorney, the attorney general, but obviously no one is at the office to give me this pass. Okay. So I don't know how I can get a pass for traveling on the road.
You need to call the COVID-19 hotline and see if they can give you some guidance on this.
Because
536-536-4500. 536-4500. Okay?
Okay, because she's not mobile, she can't get around.
Okay, I understand the point. And the system, the way that they have organized this, is to try as best as possible to ensure that there is assistance to people in that kind of situation. So you need to call them and get guidance on it, okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Good. Sunday is Easter Sunday, and Friday is Good Friday. Do you think that the supermarkets will open at any time between now and then again?
I can't give you what I think. I can only go on what has been said by the Prime Minister.
Hmm.
I heard from the Prime Minister to suggest that you had needed to treat this as 2 long weekends. I thought that's what I heard. And in all of this, they said that they were discussing a plan forward as it relates to the supermarkets. I don't know if that will kick in before
I came up with a scenario. I don't know if you would agree with me. I look at it that we can divide in alphabetical order in three days it would take then, from A to H, and only those persons with this surname, with these letters, go to the supermarket. Naturally, they will go carry their ID card, and they will be allowed to enter. That would leave the others from I down to Z at home, or should be at home, and we haven't got that long line of persons wrap around. The next day, you do from I to P. There again, then you get to the guy, you show your ID card, and once your surname begins with those letters, you go in. And it will leave the others at home that shopped already from Q to Z.
This has been suggested by others, and I wait to see how the government is going to sort it out. Okay?
Because it would, you know what I mean? Only a certain set of people then will be at the supermarket on one particular day, all over. And then the next set will go the other day, and it will take 3 days to divide it. Instead of everybody going, and you've got like a cherish and all the others all wrap around and everything like that there. I don't know if somebody else that got more thing than I am will be listening and will take something like that into consideration. I haven't bought my ham and thing yet, and I want a piece of ham to eat for Easter and talk back up with a couple other things. So I don't know if somebody else will got a better suggestion or if they can take something like that into consideration. But will you say?
I said to you already that other people have made the suggestion.
The same suggestion?
Yes.
Okay. Unless other people made suggestions, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Of course. That's all we can do.
Thanks very much, yeah?
Thank you. Someone is reminding the lady who called about trying to get what they call the SOE pass, State of Emergency pass, that caregivers are able to apply for this emergency pass by sending an email to emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb. But having shared that information, we must always remember that not everybody uses the computer and is able to do this. So I think you can have an email address, but there really ought to be a telephone number that they can call as well, so that they can be guided accordingly. Someone else sent a query here about the village shops. This person says, why are distributors not filling small shop and mini-mart orders? Is it because they're filling orders from bigger outlets like supermarkets? Every shop in my area is empty or near empty. The supermarkets are closed with full shelves. Human nature at work again. Don't distributors recognize that they have a national duty? And I'm willing to bet that as soon as the supermarkets can open, everybody will get stocked. The small shop owners should take responsibility as well, rather than let the public know they choose to complain to customers, but they will run out of stock. That line isn't as clear as it should be. But anyhow, the point is well made, that the small shops need to be serviced. The stock needs to be replenished. And what we need to get is a sense of what are the difficulties that the distributors may be facing in responding to their particular demands in the emergency. Because while the small shop may be considered an essential service, the person who is working for the distributor may find that they may not be so classified as working for an essential service. So I don't know what the difficulties are. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
This is Fabian Wharton, CEO of the Transport Board.
Yes, Mr. Wharton.
How are you, Mr. Ellis?
I'm well, and you?
Yes. I have fine. It has been a long time.
Yes, for sure.
I just wanted to call this morning to clarify for everyone on the outside the role of the transport board and why is it that there are still seeing buses running on our route almost close to our current schedule. Because I know there were concerns by some persons as it relates to the buses just running around empty and if it was a bad use of resources, etc. And what has happened is that we had to ensure that we put transportation in place for all of our essential services, the district hospitals, the geriatric hospitals, psyche, QEH, etc., before we began to even consider scaling or closing the bus service. But we are in a position where we are almost through that process with the Ministry of Health. So within the next couple of days or so, you will start to see what's coming from the Transport Board as it relates to scaling back of services and eventual termination of services. Because what is happening is that we are seeing some persons who are traveling on the road, not essential persons, and just riding the buses because they are available. So I just wanted to make that point absolutely clear, that it's not a case where we are just misusing our resources, but it's a case where we cannot have a situation where we have an essential worker can't get to his or her place of employment.
So how many of these people are you seeing who are joyriding approximately?
Well, personally, I saw about 7 old ladies at PAT terminal, which would be the one down Cheapside. And I asked the supervisors down there if they had seen other persons, and they were saying to me that the ladies told them they were bored, so they just came to town. You know, and we are pleading with persons who have elderly persons at home to just try to keep them at home and try their best to help us manage the situation.
All right. Well, you have any timetable, basically, for this scaling back and ultimate termination of service?
I would say before the week is completed, close to Thursday or Friday. We are tentatively looking at 5 p.m. Thursday because the post office had issued a statement as it relates to pensioners getting their pension checks cash. So we start to accommodate someone that's coming from within a district, but it's not within walking distance, that they can take a service, let's say, from a Tate Hill, for example, to the St. George post office.
What are the challenges that you face in trying to keep these buses on the road in these circumstances?
Well, of course, when you have a reduced ridership, which is expected in the region of 80%, you know, that poses a financial strain on the board as well. But the board still also has a social responsibility. And we have to marry the two. It is a case where financially it would affect the board significantly. It would affect our resources. We also have, it places a lot of staff on the road, both in the back end and the drivers themselves. So it is a challenge for us, but we have to do what we have to do as an essential service to ensure that we deliver the service so that all the other essential workers can keep Barbados safe as well.
Okay, Mr. Wharton, thank you very much for calling. That's Fabian Wharton of the Transport Board.